What's going on, ladies and gentlemen? Thank you so much for everybody that is tuning in to the Big Honker Podcast. It is, we're there, Jeff. It's November. We're here.
Turkey month.
Well, I was thinking, you know, that's that former fat guy in you coming out. I was thinking more along the lines of hunting season opening up, but if you want to go turkey, then whatever. That's
Christmas
fine.
Is 8 weeks away.
Fuck that. That's no good.
No, it is, too, because everybody on here sells something, and this is what every hunter wants on their gift list.
Yeah, that is true. Listen, we'll start with Gun Dog Outdoors. Protect your four-legged friend. If you've got a hunting dog, you need to actively pursue things that are going to, you know, ensure a long life. So I would recommend the quick release system. Nice little stocking stuffer. Hook your dog up. They don't go anywhere until you want them to. Ties them into a tether, and then you pull the little string, and away they go. Or the field trauma kit. I think it should be mandatory. Every blind bag should have a field trauma kit.
I agree.
Every
with
pickup
you on
truck.
That.
And they're all great stocking stuffers. So go to Gun Dog Outdoors. Look at the field trauma kit. Look at the quick release system. They've also got water bowls, food bowls, check cords, all made by Alex. They're doing things to protect your dog, and you should take advantage of it right now. Alex is a great guy. Gun Dog Outdoors. We're also brought to you by Lucky Duck. They've got the best 2x4 blind for grown men. Goes up nice and easy. It's sturdy. Holds grass very well. Brush it one time, and then you're golden for the year. You might have to brush the tops every once in a while just because they break, but that's part of it.
And get the kennel. Now, I would tell you, if you got a dog, invest in that dog. You're not going to put your kid in the back of a car in a little flimsy deal. Gift your dog and put him in a dang Lucky Duck dog kennel.
5-star crash test rated. Comes with a nice little pad. So, that, you know, I got an older dog, Lou. He sits on that, and he's good. I don't have to worry about him sitting on that hard bottom. Great spinners, great motion decoys. If you're a duck hunter, their spinners are one of a kind. They've also got a great the HDI swimmer adds motion to your water spread. So go check them out, luckyduck.com. Also, it is time for you to go download the Hunt Proof app and set up an account. You can log your hunts. You don't have to write anything down anymore, and it'll be there forever. You can prove to your grandkids that you are as big a badass as what you claim.
You can keep your history forever. I wish I would have had it when I was 30 years ago when I started this business. I'd wish I had it to look back at every day I hunted. The conditions are all right there. They're logged in, and you can put a picture in there and save a picture forever. I'm on there. Check me out. Look me up at Jeff Stanfield on Hunt Proof.
And I'm also on there. Check me out, Andy Shaver, on Hunt Proof. We're also brought to you by Boss Shot Shells, maker of the best shotgun shell load on the market right now. Copper-plated bismuth. It holds a tighter pattern for a longer, more velocity, further out there. It is wicked, the things that it does. It takes one is all that it takes. It doesn't make you a better shot, but when you connect, let me tell you, you connect. Not as many cripples, and it gets lead out of the environment.
Go green. I never said that before in my life. Go green. Go with Boss Shot Shells.
So if you're out there crane hunting, shoot bismuth at them. All right? Clean up the environment. Get the lead out of there. We're also brought to you by Dive Bomb Industries, best silhouettes on the market right now. It's so easy and affordable to run a big spread now. Big spreads are kind of the way to go. Dive Bomb makes it extremely efficient. You can hide in the spread now. You can get their tall socks. You can hide right underneath them. And it's amazing the things that you can do. Always get the bags. That way your trailer stays nice and organized all year long. And then when hunting season is over, everything packs up perfectly.
They got blind bags. They got gun cases. Check them out at divebombindustries.com.
All waterproof. All the bags are waterproof. So, you know, you got a shotgun, takes a dip. It's not going to let any water in. So great bags, great silhouettes, great company. Check them out, Dive Bomb Industries. Also got a promo code for you from Pacific Calls, BHP25. You can save 25% off of everything that is on their website right now. Just type in that promo code at checkout and you'll save 25% no matter what you buy. I would recommend if you hunt lessers, get the BA Lesser call. It is a screamer. It is a short little stout call that really, really rips. It's my favorite lesser call. And they've also got the best speckle belly call. They've actually got a couple of them. They got the BBS. It's a little bit more bored out than their original 530 speckle belly call, I think is what it is. Sometimes the numbers confuse me. But if you hunt specs, they've got a fantastic speckle belly call, and you can save a little bit of money. These things also go nice in stocking stuffers. And you can save 25% off by doing it. Go to PacificCustomCalls.com, get whatever you want, and use our promo code. We are also brought to you by Shin Gear Waders. They're the best. Jeff was in them this last week, and he didn't even bitch about having to put on waders.
No, that's the best part about them is taking them on and putting them off. That is a fat boy struggle. You skinny guys don't understand. A fat guy, you watch him there.
Huffing and puffing.
Huffing and puffing. You put on these things, you don't do it. You unzip them. It zips down to your belly button. You slide them on. You put the shoes on. The boots are so easy to get in and out of. It's no different than getting into slippers almost. I mean, they're that easy to get in and off of. You put them on. You take them off. That's the way to go. Shin gear is by far the best invention for anybody that's got a gut in the waterfowl industry in my lifetime. I'm telling you.
They've made being fat pleasurable.
They do.
They've also got a nice, they've got a couple nice jackets out there right now. One of them's a wax jacket, and then the other one is fully waterproof. So go check it out, shingear.com. They're not just a wader company anymore, so go check them out. They got incredible stuff over there. We're also brought to you by the Looking Glass Podcast. Go to Patreon, and you will donate to their account, and you will have access to their entire library. I'm telling you what, they're one of a kind, Logan and Rebel are, and, it doesn't cost much. So just go to Patreon, check them out, Looking Glass Podcast, and get a hold of some of the debauchery. They're hilarious over there. So you will not, it's going to be money well spent. I can tell you that. Go to Patreon, look them up, Looking Glass Podcast, and get ready to laugh. Also, we are brought to you by Dirty Duck Coffee. Another promo code, Big Honker, will save you 15%. I don't know how long this promo code is going to run, but if you've ever wanting to try Dirty Duck Coffee, the Missouri Boat Ride Blend, or the High Velocity, or any of the other great coffees that they have over there, go to dirtyduckcoffee.com. Use the promo code BIGHONKER. You'll save 15%. They've got great-looking merchandise, so if coffee's not your game but you want to look good, they got good-looking swag over there. So there's no excuse. Or you can sign up for their subscription program. You type in, you plug in how often you want your coffee delivered, and you don't have to go through the pain of reordering coffee. It just ships every 2 weeks or however often you want it to send, and that will save you 20%. So you can use the promo code for 15% if you want to just try it, or if it's something that you like and you want to get on their regular rotation, sign up for the subscription program, and that saves 20%. That's at dirtyduckcoffee.com. Also, we're brought to you by Alpha Outdoor Specialties, maker of the Stanfield Stool. I've had a lot of people ask me, can they get the Stanfield Stool, and how do they get it?
They go to Alpha Outdoor Specialties. You can order them there, and they can deliver them to you.
You just get a hold of them. They can get a hold of them on Instagram, or I think they were retooling their website not too long ago. But, yeah, just look them up on Instagram, message them, and then they'll send you the Stanfield Stool. It's a sturdy little invention, and it's what we're going to hunt out of all year long. So, also, if you've got any other ideas that you want to see come to life, hit them up. They can make anything happen, just like they did the Stanfield Stool. That is at Alpha Outdoor Specialties. Also, we're brought to you by Bangtail Whiskey. It is what I put in my whiskey sour whenever I drink that, and it is delicious. Brandon has done an incredible job. You know, he's a music producer. He's making music. He's making whiskey and all these other things that he does. So he's got that entrepreneur spirit in him. Bangtail Whiskey is not for the faint of heart. Bangtail embodies a select few who believe in hard work and relish in the opportunity to take a step back to enjoy the fruits of their labor. Whether you're relaxing for a midweek swaller or communing on the weekend with quality people, Bangtail is sure to provide a truly unique and tasteful experience time and time again. With deep southern roots, Bangtail provides a first-class, handcrafted whiskey experience. Pour a jigger of Bangtail and enjoy. Must be 21 years or older. Also brought to you by Ducks Unlimited. 85 years they've been putting ducks back into the sky. We owe a lot of gratitude to Ducks Unlimited for what they've done for waterfowl hunters.
Imagine if this drought we've had, if we wouldn't for Ducks Unlimited, where we'd be at bird-wise.
Be scary.
Be tough.
It would be scary. So become a member of Ducks Unlimited or go to one of their many events that they have throughout the year. Spend a little bit of money with them, because if it was not for them, waterfowl hunting would look a lot different today. And we owe a lot to them. So support them. Also, Double T British Kennels. We got some of these British dogs coming here not too long from now.
We'll have them delivered tomorrow.
They'll be doing pheasant hunts. They'll be doing waterfowl hunts. Listen, that's what you want in a dog. You want your dog to be versatile. And the folks over at Double T British Kennels, they've got it figured out. So I'll be able to tell you firsthand experience what it's like running a Double T British Kennel lab. I'm excited. They got quite a few good looking studs over there. So you can check them out on Instagram, Double T British Kennels, and see for yourself. But they've got dogs of all different levels. Pups, started dogs, go over there, check them out. Last but not least, we're brought to you by Stanfield Hunting Outfitters. Got a couple dates left. Good dates.
Got a couple dates in November left, the end of November. I've got some midweek December dates open. I've got the 29th, 30th open after December, after Christmas. That's usually gone by now. And then I've got some January days open. And I actually have a January weekend open still, too. But anyway, so reach out to me if you're interested in that. It's 940-658-3172. We appreciate you. I got pheasant dates available around Christmas. Everybody wants to do pheasant hunts around Christmas time. Bring their kids and come do a hunt. Holler at us, 940-658-3172, or look us up at stanfieldhunting.com. Thank you. God bless y'all, and have a great week.
All right, boys and girls, this episode of the podcast, we are joined by the world champion goose caller, Mr. John Walls. He recently took first place in Easton just a couple days ago. So get him on the podcast. Great guy. I'm telling you what, he has cut his teeth in this industry and finally won. And we need more guys like him in the waterfowl world. So John Walls, hope you enjoy it. Here we go. Now we're ready.
Let's go.
Here we go. 3, 2, 1.
Boom, and welcome to the Big Honker Podcast, brought to you by Ducks Unlimited. The vault, it's going right now. I looked it up last night. I bid on a couple of things.
That's right.
If you see the cinnamon teal, don't bid on that. Okay, it's sold already, so don't bid on it.
What is that, an old decoy?
Oh, it's a sweet cinnamon teal. I love teal decoys.
Right.
It's a cinnamon. It's a good-looking decoy. They got some nice guns.
Really?
Yeah, some really nice guns. So if anybody in my family wants to buy me a Christmas gift, they can go to the vault at Ducks Unlimited, du.org, I believe is what it is.
Right.
And go in. They've got a great auction. It's going to a great thing. Be millions of dollars raised this weekend. So go to Ducks Unlimited and look up the vault.
Very cool. On the line with us today, we've got the winner of the World Open Goose Champion, Mr. John Walls. John, it's a pleasure to have you.
Yeah, thank you guys for having me, man. Appreciate it.
Well, we're excited for you because I got to tell you, your reaction on stage, and if you haven't seen it, it's on Facebook. I'm sure it's on YouTube everywhere. But, I mean, you look like the weight of the world just leapt off your shoulders when they announced your name.
Yeah, man. I've gone back and watched that like 100 times because I blacked out when Mitch Hughes said that fourth place was for the tiebreaker. And I knew I won. I just blacked out. But, yeah, man, I mean, that's 15 years of wanting that moment, man. I've been so close so many times. And when it happened, holy shit.
So you knew when they announced fourth place that you had won?
Yeah, so what had happened was after the third round, you know, all five of us blew. And Mike Eddy, the bullpen guy and scorekeeper guy, came back. So there was a three-way tie. And myself and Mike Benjamin were not in that tie. So the three callers that were tied, they broke that tie. And when we came out to hear who won, they announced Mike Benjamin for fifth.
I see.
So I knew right then, like, all right, all I need is for him to say that, you know, fourth place before the tie and I'm the last one standing. So yeah, I felt bad. I kind of took that fire away, the suspense away, you know, who won, but man, it's a big stage, man. Holy shit. I couldn't hold back.
So they didn't even announce your name. They just announced that they announced fourth place, and then you just knew right then. You're like, I fucking did it.
They announced fourth place with their final score of 7-something, and then the tiebreaker score, and that's when I knew. Like, oh, man.
Now, how close had you gotten in years past?
I wish I knew for sure. I think I finished second 4 times. I know in 2011 I lost by a half point. And then 2017 I finished second behind Trevor. I think he had a pretty good margin on me. And then 2018 when Kyle Jones won, those are the three that stand out to me. I think there was one other time, but yeah, I finished every position second through fifth that stage except for first.
That's what's crazy is you lose by half a point or you win by half a point. And if you're second, you're always thinking it was just someone's opinion.
Right.
Anything that doesn't have a first place cut dried like a race, and it's all based on someone's opinion, no matter what you have, there's always that in your mind, that memory that, man, I should have won that son of a bitch.
Right. Just, yeah. I mean, there's a couple where I thought, I never really thought like, oh man, I won that son of a gun. But, you know, it makes you think like, God damn it.
And I mean, like, what do you even go and work on when you're just half a point away so many different times? I mean, it's just
right.
At some point, you just got to think like, fuck, am I cursed? Or is it just, am I never going to get the right judges back there? Like, what do I even change?
Yeah, man, it's tough. I mean, I just stuck with the same thing over the years. It's worked, you know, on the East Coast and the Midwest. It's just worked. So I figured I get the right set of years behind that curtain, chips will fall my way one year. It finally did.
So are the best goose callers in the world East Coast guys?
Oh, no, I wouldn't say that. I know a couple guys off the top of my hand. If they gave a shit about contest calling, they'd be three-time champions, champion of champions. I mean, and they're from Ohio. I mean, they're all over the place. It doesn't, not East Coast. No, it's either from all over.
But the East Coast has won more championships than anybody else, haven't they?
I would say probably so. Yeah. Besides Robbie and Hunter Grounds and handful, yeah, most of them are probably East Coast. Yeah.
I read an article one time, and it's been a while back, and I can't remember who wrote it. I don't know if Teddy Hoover wrote it. I don't know if Sean Mann wrote it, but someone from the East Coast wrote an article about one time about the big difference between the East Coast callers and the Midwest callers. And I don't know if you call Ohio a Midwest. I really don't know if that what I'd consider the Midwest, but whatever it is.
And right.
When Tim Grounds and them all invaded the East Coast and started coming there, but up until that time, almost all the champions were all East Coast people. Is that correct?
Yeah, I'd imagine so. Yeah. I'm not too, you know, up to date on all the history. I wish I was, but I'm not.
Now, is there still a big rivalry between East Coast and like the Midwest guys, or is it kind of one big happy family now?
Man, I think some people might, but I'm just an easygoing dude, man. I'm friends with everybody, so it's nothing to me. But yeah, I'm sure, you know, when the Midwest guys come out to Easton or something and there's more of like a East Coast catered judging panel, you know, it might make them feel a little weird. But we can say the same thing about, you know, us East Coast guys, and we go out Midwest to Rogers or anything like that, you know, calling to Midwest judges.
What's the difference? I mean, what do you have to prepare yourself for? Like, what are the judges looking for on the East Coast as compared to like the Midwest?
Man, so for myself, I try to keep my calling kind of like cater to both. But I think the East Coast style of like judging, they like to hear like just a handful of different geese. Not like compared to Midwest, I think they like the more rolling, fast, flowing stuff, stuff like that.
So on the East, you just want to sound like a couple geese. Midwest, they want to hear like a bigger flock.
Right. Yeah. Pretty much. Yep.
Why is that? Is that just because the hunting styles, or like what got the judges to want to? How did they develop like two different ears?
Yeah, I would imagine it's probably hunting styles. I mean, yeah, I'm not 100% sure. I know like on the East Coast here, a lot of the hunters, they don't like to give the geese a lot, you know, so I'm thinking that's how they kind of like that lower, slower type stuff. Just a handful of geese, you know, bouncing back and forth, tone wise, cadence wise, stuff like that.
Now, how many years have you gone to this contest in Easton?
This past year was my 15th year.
15 years.
Yep.
And you've got second a couple times, and then this is the biggest first. How many years ago did you make it to like the third round?
The first year I made it to the third round of World Goose was 2011. And that's when I finished in second behind Mitch Hughes. That's when I lost by a half point.
So all the young kids can learn something from this.
Right. It's been 11 years.
Yeah, there's
cutting your teeth.
17-year-old kids that get there and they don't make the first deal. They're like, fuck it, I'm quitting. I'm not doing it again. You got to stick with it, bud.
Right. Yep, you got to, man. My big saying after this, you know, win was just never give up.
Yeah. Who were your mentors in this? Like, who could you call on a phone and be like, hey, well, what do you think of this? Is it Shanahan?
Man, yeah, to a point. Tim Grounds was a big one for me. also Fred Zink and Jimmy Wren. Right after high school, I actually met Jimmy Wren at a local contest here. He's actually from the East Coast, mm-hmm. from Havity Grace, Maryland.
And, he worked out here. He worked for us for 2 years.
Oh, okay. So, you know Jimmy. So, yeah, became very close with him, and he got to talking with me about, you know, plans after high school and stuff like that. And actually went out to Ohio to work for Fred and Jimmy at Zinc Calls. And, yeah, they helped me so, so much. And I think that's how I progressed so much between – you know, my first trip to Easton and not making the final round of the World Goose to the year after I worked for Fred and blowing calls all day, tuning calls 8 hours a day. That 2011 year when I went, I damn near won the thing. So I give a lot of props to Jimmy Wren and Fred Zink for that. They helped me out a ton.
Was that around the time that, that Field broke off and started doing his own thing, or was Field also in-house and able to help you?
Yeah, so Field was not there when I moved out there. I moved out there in October of 2011. Yeah. And he was not there.
Okay. Yeah. Cause I guess Field probably started Field Proving around 09, maybe 09, 2010, somewhere in that area.
Yeah. Yeah. Probably. Yep.
So he wasn't in there. But you, yeah. So you think that calling all day, I mean, you got a call in your hand literally all day long. So like,
literally, yeah.
You know, you just fucking work on shit and get to cranking on it.
Yeah. Yep. No, it absolutely helped me, you know, a ton for sure.
Now, how do you run like a shaved read on stage, or are you running a full read?
So for 13 years, I ran a full read. The last 2 years I've ran a shaved read, just cause I haven't really practiced as much as I should. And, the way that I run a call a lot heavier than most guys. So you got to have a lot of lungs to get through her. And, yeah, I just haven't really practiced, so I use a shaved read, make it a little easier on myself.
Uh-oh. So you hadn't been practicing, you hadn't been putting in the hours like you did. But, I mean, this is what Trevor has always said. He's like, my routine has pretty much been set. So it's all muscle memory at this point. Like, I've basically had the same routine since I started, minus a few adjustments here and there. But it's just knock a little bit of the rust off, and it's muscle memory.
Yep. Exactly. Yep. Just a few minor little changes here and there. I mean, it's just run a few days before the contest, and I'm good to go.
Yeah.
Kind of like riding a bike, you know?
Yeah. I mean, well, you know, our president, he has a hard time with that. So, you know, and he's old as shit.
Yes, he does.
And y'all must be so proud of him up there.
Delaware's own.
What? 2.5 miles from my driveway.
Jesus.
Mm-mm-mm.
Now, have you ever like seen him at like the ice cream shop sniffing little girls, or is he pretty well kept away?
No, I've ran into him once at a 4th of July party, parade, I should say, in our little town here. And, that was the only time I've seen him, but I've heard stories from the past of people, you know, just no good stories. I can say that.
Oh, I think he's one arrogant asshole.
I thought he was from Scranton.
No, I think he was.
That's how he got Pennsylvania, wasn't it?
Mom dropped some sperm there or some shit. I think
really sure where he's from.
I think he grew up in Scranton until he was 8 or 9, or
right.
I don't know. He's he's a professional politician, and that's enough said because we don't need them on any side of the aisle. But he's what's wrong with that whole system.
What's his house like there? I mean, is it massive?
You know, you can't really see it from the road,
of course.
But just out of curiosity, even before he was president, looked on like Google Maps and stuff. It's pretty nice pad. Not bad.
Not bad for making $175,000 a year, huh?
Yeah, right. Exactly.
I can't figure out how their investments always are so much more lucrative.
Well, we just gave $4.2 billion more dollars to Ukraine today.
Well, they were asking for it. So.
Well, they got some really good shit on us to keep doing that crap. Mm-hmm. You're a NASCAR fan?
Huge. Huge NASCAR fan.
Jeff Gordon fan?
Nah, I was never really much of a Gordon fan.
So you're a Dale Earnhardt guy then?
I was. So back in the day when I was in diapers, I was a Dale Earnhardt and Ricky Rudd fan back in the day.
Who's your guy now?
Brad Keselowski.
I like him. He's kind of an asshole. That's what I like about him.
Yeah, a little bit, man. You know, he's there to win. He ain't there to make friends. And, you know.
Well, I like that. I'm not I used to watch NASCAR. And I was a Gordon fan because everybody hated him, so I started liking him, and he won. And it's easy to be a fan of a winner. But I watch it now some, and I like the big super speedway shit, but all these young kids, I don't know who they are. And so
right.
I don't really have anybody. It's kind of like I used to not be able to stand Kyle Busch, but now I go for him because everybody hates him again. So
right. Yeah. Yeah. He's grown on me as well a little bit.
But I'm sure. I love dirt car racing. I love sprint cars, and I like Kyle Larson a lot.
I saw, was it Larson that got his ass beat by the Jesse Smollett of NASCAR?
Yeah.
It was him, wasn't it?
That guy's a joke,
it
too.
It was.
Man, I'm going to ask
fucking corner. He punked his ass.
I'm going to ask you a question, and I'm going to put you on the spot here, okay? You're a NASCAR guy. Me and Andy are not. I watch it a lot more than Andy does because Andy never watches it. If Bubba Wallace was white, would he have a ride in NASCAR? That's a no, but he's afraid to say it.
Probably not.
Yep. Same as Danica. Yep. Danica would have never had a ride if she was if she didn't have a vagina.
Yep, exactly.
I don't. Yeah, she's skilled, Jeff.
No, she's not.
She's good.
She was good in IndyCar. I'll give her that, but she wasn't a NASCAR driver. And freaking Bubba Wallace, if he was white, would not have a ride in NASCAR. He's not good at all. He's taking somebody else's spot that's a lot more talented than he is.
Yeah.
And Michael Jordan is going to fire him probably after next season, and then it'll be okay.
What did Larson do? Did he put him in the wall or what?
No, I mean,
they both
it was
did.
A racing deal in my eyes. I mean, yeah, Larson used him up coming off of turn four, but it happens. But Bubba just reacted in the worst possible way, you know, hooking him in the right rear. That's fucked up, man. You don't do that. It's like, yeah, that's breaking racing etiquette there. You don't do that.
Well. Larson should have thumped his ass if he'd had a...
Larson get his ass whooped.
If he'd had a hair on his nutsack,
Bubba
he should have
thumped him. Wallace is about the only full-size NASCAR driver there is. Them sprint car racers, when they get out of their cars, most of them, Rico Abreu is a midget or dwarf, whatever. What do you call it? I mean, a small person. But he's a funny little he's a funny fucker, too. He ain't much shorter than some of them other guys. Kyle Larson. Kyle Larson and Brad Sweet between them don't weigh 240 pounds, I don't think. So
Right.
You know, Bubba's what, 6'2", 6'3", is a good sized guy.
Yeah, he is. Yep.
He might whip all it'd be like midget wrestling. There'd be three of them against him would make a fair fight, maybe.
Yeah. So what year did you take me back to the very beginning. When was the year that you first stepped on stage?
2007.
And then 2011, you blow in Easton for the first time, correct? We got my timeline right?
No, so the first year I blew in Easton was in 2008 as a junior.
2011 was the first year you made it. You got second place in 2011. Yep. Okay, I got it now. So that's a pretty fast turnaround. I mean, starting 2007, when did you finally like start hitting your stride knowing, okay, I think I got something here?
Yeah, probably late 2009, early 2010.
So for 2 years, you were like, oh, fuck, oh, it's fun and all, but I don't know.
Yeah. But then it's like a flip of a switch, man, and kind of hit the ground running. I figured it out.
So tell me, how much has things changed since then? Like the dynamic of calling contests? Because I remember, you know, being down here 2007, like that seems kind of like when calling contests were kind of hitting a new peak because you had Hunter Grounds. Mm-hmm. He was dominant. How have things changed since then? Because it seems like now, number one, calling the attendance is way down. And, I don't know. It just, you don't have that attitude anymore.
Yeah, man. I mean, my first year blowing in the World Goose was, 2009. And, man, I think there was like 40 some callers in there and, you would get a lot of the good guys, you know, Hunter Grounds, stuff like that. But then you would have a lot of like local Maryland people that would be in there. They still got blood on their jeans. They were out guiding that morning. They're coming over to, you know, blowing the contest to give it a try. And yeah, like you said, man, the attendance nowadays is just, it's horrible. But I feel like the skill level has closed so much. There's so many good people nowadays. And even at Worlds this past year, there was 17 of us. That entered, and after the second round, the nine that were left, it's like holy shit! Like we all blew good. Like any one of us could have won that contest.
Yeah. So we were talking about this earlier. Is it better to get blown out because our local high school here they had a rough night on Friday night, and is it better for you as a contest caller to like just totally just bomb it and get beat by a million, or to that half a point separates you?
for me, the closer I am to winning, the more fire under my ass I get.
Right.
You know, so the closer I am, the more I want to get better, try harder. Except for the last few years, I haven't really practiced much at all. But man, when I was a kid, like every time I just progressed, and, you know.
Yeah,
that was the way I grew.
That carrot is constantly in front of your face, basically.
Yep, exactly.
When you're half a point away, you're like, motherfucker, I'm gonna get this one day.
Yep.
I promise.
Well, who taught you how to call?
My best friend Alex. He's the one who introduced me to it. So I grew up a deer hunter, small game hunter. Didn't really ever put any thought into waterfowl hunting. Until he showed up to my house one afternoon. He went on his first goose hunt that morning, and one of the guys he was hunting with gave him a goose call. And he's like, here, I learned how to honk on this thing. I'm like, holy shit, like, I need to do that. Like, that's cool. And so my buddy Alex, he got me started, and we both got in the contest calling at the same time. But that's like when you do something, there's a lot of instructional stuff coming out. So I paid a lot of attention to that. I really kind of taught myself, I guess you could say.
Now, what do you still deer hunt a lot?
Oh yeah, yep.
And you've got a lot on your wall, I can tell behind you.
Are these
all okay. Delaware deer, or are we traveling for these?
Nope, all Delaware deer. Yep, all local deer.
I didn't realize, like, there's some that look like studs back there.
Yeah, they're pretty nice. So the property I work on now, I grew up on, it's 1,000 acres, and I know it like the back of my hand. We really don't grow big deer here. We don't have agricultural fields. We have hay fields and stuff like that. And, you know, the only agriculture they get is the occasional corn pile in the woods. And so it's we don't really have that genetic. Hold on a second. I'm getting a phone call here.
You're good. No problem. Whoop. Must have been a big phone call. We'll see if he's a bow guy or a rifle guy. You're going bow, huh?
Bow guy, yep.
Yeah. Methodical.
Well, would you call Blake a bow guy or a gun guy?
I don't know what I'd call Blake. You with us? There you are.
God damn it. Sorry about that.
You're good, man. Don't worry about it.
Are you a bow hunter or a rifle hunter?
We're taking bets here.
Jesus Christ. So I'm a big bow hunter.
I knew it. I called it. But I'm going to tell Andy. Andy does not pay attention to shit. What? Look at his shirt.
Pattern master.
Yeah. You know what that means?
It means he shoots a pattern master.
That's right. He does. That means he's a gun, shotgun guy and a fucking bow hunter for deer. You should pay attention, Andy.
Okay.
That's it. Right. You know?
We're not allowed to use rifles here in Delaware. It's,
that's right. Oh, you're not?
Shotgun, muzzleloader, and archery only.
You didn't know that.
Yes, I did, Andy.
You didn't fucking know that you couldn't use rifles in Delaware.
John, you've listened to the podcast. I'm usually right.
You're not going to be able to prove. You're not going to be able to prove this anyway.
I called it and said what he was going to do.
I could have told you that he was a bow guy.
You didn't say that though.
Because I asked you what you thought he was,
and I said, "What do you think Blake is?" And you said, "I don't even know what Blake is."
Blake's a bow guy.
So
big bow guy. Blake recently got the Hoyt RX-7 bourbon.
Oh boy.
Oh yeah. Jeff had to pay for this monster.
I was like a celebrity in Shields, and people were like looking around at me like, there's the guy that bought the $2,000 bow.
They couldn't believe it. The only one that they, right. Well, I guess it's brand new or whatever, so they had to like take it out of the crate, and I think it had like a light that, you know, shined down on it and had a halo and all sorts of stuff.
They like broke in like, Joe, you're needed in the bow department, please. The guy is picking up the $2,000 bow and arrow, please. The $2,000 bow is being picked up right now.
And we can't believe it. So, Blake...
They had to uncrate it like the Christmas story, the lamp and everything. They had to crate it, and everybody looked at it. And one guy's like, "Son, bitch, I'd like to be able to afford me one of them. What do you do for a living over there to be able to pay for a bow like mm-hmm. that?" It's like shit, but it's a nice bow, and I don't know shit about bows, so I was not as impressed as everyone else uncrating this thing was.
It saved like a half a pound. So the bow he was carrying was what, 4.6, and this one's 3.9 or some shit.
It's
like
whatever,
that.
Whatever, something. It's come out to 6 ounces difference.
Yeah, so I guess it does. Bam. That make all the difference in the world? We don't know anything about bow hunting here.
Obviously, Blake
yeah,
doesn't either.
Right. No kidding. Yeah, it's crazy, man, how expensive they are, but they are nice. They are nice.
Andy's football coach. I used to play a lot of golf with him, and Wayne's a pretty boy, good-looking guy, looks like a model or a TV actor. And he used to say, Jeff, you just got to look good in the parking lot. That's what's important. Blake Poppy looks good with his equipment.
He does. So you're managing your deer is what I took from our conversation. Like you're putting a lot of time and effort into growing big deer on your place.
Yeah, not necessarily growing them. Where I work at, it's kind of weird. My job description, I'm pretty much like a groundskeeper. Uh-huh. But the 1,000 acres that I work on here is we focus on native plants a lot. So we take out invasives, non-natives, and stuff like that. And you know, part of that management is whitetail deer, you know, management. And we really focus on antlerless deer. And with us thinning the herd, we had way too many deer. We were averaging almost 100 deer per square mile for a few years. And the last 5 years, we have hammered them pretty good. And we got it down to about 50 deer per square mile. But with us taking that many antlerless deer, especially the does, we're just seeing bigger bucks.
100 deer per square mile.
Yeah.
Motherfucker.
What do you think we got right here?
How many do you think we got right here?
Fuck, last year there were 600 of them between here and down below.
No, there was not that many.
There was a shitload of them. I'll bet you there was 300 or 400 that we filled last year.
But we're wide ass open.
Okay.
They got plenty of, they got habitat up there. They just hole up.
Well, I would bet that 100 per square acre, though, is, I mean, square mile is not that.
You don't think it's that impressive? I mean, that sounds
no,
like
no, I never
deer.
Said it wasn't impressive, but I said, I think you'd be shocked in the hill country in some places, especially, it's about like that, too.
That's a lot of deer, though.
That's a
what
deer.
Is that? But, I mean, that's got to just totally tank your like you said, your buck herd.
That's a deer for every 6 acres, correct?
Ooh.
Don't ask me.
It is. 640 acres is a square mile. In the hill country, they've got a deer per acre, so there's some places down there got 500 or 600 per square mile.
So that's a deer per acre on a football field. Football field an acre, right? Approximately?
Yes, close.
Hmm. I don't know. That's a lot of deer.
That is a lot of deer, but I mean, that's not as mean as you would. It's not as astounding. But the quality of the deer you have up there is what's amazing compared to a lot of places. I'm assuming, what are you shooting, 150-inch deer?
Whew, that's on the high side. I'd say a good deer around here is like 135, 140s for sure.
I'm looking at the one that, so you got one that's a little shorter over your left shoulder, and then you got one that's directly higher. What is that, like one, that's got to be 140s, isn't it?
That's a 146, yep.
Told you, Jeff, I know my fucking deer.
That's yep. Pretty good, Andy.
Yeah, that's right. For a deer guy and the background's blurry, like I got this shit.
What's one on the left score yep. There?
He's got his head turned.
I forget. I think he's 129 or something like that.
What's the biggest deer you've shot up there?
That 146.
146.
How old was
it? I had an opportunity at one. I'd let my dad shoot it early this season and scored 155 and 7/8.
How did that make you feel?
Oh, awesome, man.
You were good with that?
It was awesome. My dad took a back seat when he got me into hunting. And then, so another big thing, Easton always falls on opening day of shotgun season in Delaware. So for 13 years, besides 1 year and then the year COVID hit, we weren't able to hunt opening weekend because he was always with me. And so he took a back seat for all those years. And then this year, you know, we're checking trail cameras. I'm like, holy shit, man, look at this thing. And he's like, oh, my God. I'm like, you want to get on that thing? He's like, yeah. I'm like, all right, absolutely. You go kill that son of a bitch. And he did. So that was cool, man.
See,
that was cool.
Our last guest was not near as nice about someone else shooting their deer.
No, he was not. Blake was actually pretty shitty. Jesus.
Blake's brother, Alex, who's the killer in that family. If it wasn't for Alex, that family would starve if anything happened because he's the true killer. He let his girlfriend shoot Blake's deer this year a couple of weeks ago.
And made Blake take the picture.
Yeah, Blake's a little bitter.
Then Blake had to hold the camera and take the picture with Alex and his girlfriend and the deer that Blake was supposed to shoot.
Oh, yeah.
So
I swear big white tails bring out the worst in people, man.
This was a muley, so I don't even know what's wrong with them. They're just degenerates.
I'm just glad to see that you have the respect for your fellow hunter like and your dad that you have because Blake sure needs to work on his ethics a little bit.
He does.
I was embarrassed for him to be that way.
Is CWD bad up there?
You know, this past summer was the first time we've ever really had a case of it. And it was in lower Delaware, but they're definitely, you know, looking into it more. They're having restrictions of letting deer cross state lines. Because especially like northern Delaware, I'm 10 minutes from Pennsylvania, 30 minutes from Maryland, 20 minutes from New Jersey, so they're pretty strict on that right now. But it's around, that's for sure.
Blake was telling us it's not CWD, it's EHD is the one that kills the deer. It's not CWD, I guess, which I didn't know.
Well, I think both of them do. I think it's just different, the midge or whatever the bug is that gets in them or whatever, it affects them differently. But I think they both die at the end.
Right.
They get it.
Well, I guess, what were they saying? The EHD is the one like where you see deer in like a creek or something. That's EHD and not CHD. CWD. I don't fucking know.
Yeah.
we're past the bird flu, so like that's all I really care about. So do you watch the NFL at all? You're right there in the middle of like all this shit. Like, who would you root for being from Delaware?
So being from Northern Delaware, I really don't watch football, but Philadelphia Eagles.
Well, that's an easy team to root for this year.
Yeah, my God, they're doing. It's hard not to, you know, keep an eye on them and watch them.
But. Yeah. Well, I didn't know because, like, I'm always interested whenever you've got like whenever you're 30 minutes away from, you know, all these different franchises. Who would you root for? But for you, it's the Eagles. I want to go back to the deer for the second. So, if you shoot a deer, are they doing like any testing since CWD has been introduced into your area, or are they not worried about it that much yet?
Yeah, not yet. Now, there is talks of certain like check-in stations and butcher shops that are going to be testing for it though next year.
Right. Is the goose hunting, how's the goose hunting in your area?
Man, so I'm in an area, it's pretty good. I get four different types of goose hunting here. Like I said, I'm 30 minutes from Maryland, 20 minutes from New Jersey, Pennsylvania's right up the road. And each one of those locations is totally different, you know, topography wise. Like up here, I'm hunting hills in Pennsylvania, rolling hills, Amish country. Then you go down the Eastern Shore of Maryland, it's pretty much flatland and goose hunters freaking everywhere. And then, most of my waterfowl I do is over in New Jersey, and that's, a little bit of a hidden gem. I'm not going to say too much of where I'm at over there, but, it's on point. It's pretty good.
No, I don't blame you for that.
Man.
So are the license cheap? Cause I mean, like you got to buy four different licenses to hunt all these different states, like, and it's all out of state license.
Yeah, no, it's not cheap, man. I'd say the most expensive one is actually a non-resident Delaware license. And thank God I live in Delaware. Just to buy a license to hunt even small game or deer, it's $200 for a non-resident. But yeah, like Maryland's $130, New Jersey's like $140, almost $150.
Need that.
Pennsylvania's $100. So
I think that's what Texas, I believe, and I should know better, but I'm around $150 to $180. But in Texas, mm-hmm. when you buy an out-of-state license, you get the same license I get, which costs me $100. So it only costs you, but I can. It, but for a
yours has fishing on it.
Okay, what's yours cost?
Like 70.
70. So it's about 80. Twice that much, but you can shoot five deer and five turkeys and an elephant and every freaking thing else. You know,
right.
No kidding.
Yeah, Texas. If you buy an out-of-state general hunting license, you get the same license I get, but you can shoot every freaking. I mean, we have. I think it's five deer, five whitetails. You can shoot a mule deer. You can shoot five turkeys and all kinds of stuff on
four turkeys.
Is it four? Okay, four. See, Andy's right on all this. I don't know about all this, but that's about what we get.
Yeah, I was down in Texas in March for my bachelor party. We went to Three Curl Outfitters.
Uh huh.
I guess in like Waxahachie, I think it was.
Waxahachie.
Did you pig hunt?
Yeah, we did a pig hunt down there, man. That was freaking awesome. And we were worried about hunting licenses and stuff, but I guess you don't have to for them damn pigs.
Yeah, I make everybody.
Whatever, if the outfitter did or whatever.
I make everybody get one. My deal is you're hunting. If you're coming down here to Deborah, see, that's my thing. It's $45 is all it is. And I'm a big believer. If you come here, you need to buy a hunting license. If you're shooting a pig, whatever you shoot, you're hunting. So I make everybody get one.
But it's not required
but it's
by
not,
law?
No, by law, if you're shooting a pig because for deprivation only, then you're not. You don't have to have a license, but I make everybody get one.
How did you do it? Was it was it like over feeders and stands and stuff like that?
No, so me and my buddies would be three in a pickup truck, and the guy would be driving, hanging out, you know, one foot on the step rail, one foot on the gas, one hand on the wheel, and the other with a thermal little handheld thing. And he's scanning fields going down the road, man, and, you know, scaring us half to death. But he knew where he was going. And, he'd find hogs, and we'd go out and stalk them and light them up.
People can't believe that that's legal down here. But, I mean, it's crazy. It's the Wild West. Like, we get people from out of state Colorado, for whatever reason, is a big state where people come from to pig hunt in the spring, March. And like they're always like, do I need to put my gun in my case? Cause like, well, just like, you know, y'all did, we go from place to place to place to place a lot of times. And they're like, do I need to put this up every time? I'm like, no, fucking put it down. Just set it, yeah. Set it in the front seat with you. They're like, you're kidding me. Like, no, fuck. I'm going to save time, man. Well, fuck, you're in Texas. Like, you know, everything's legal here. Yeah. You can throw a hand grenade at them if you want. How many did y'all get?
I think we only killed 11 or something like that. But a couple of the groups that had a good group of hogs in front of them, they didn't shoot very well. So they had opportunity. They just didn't take advantage of it.
Did you do anything with the meat or anything like that, or did you just chunk it?
You know, it's a shame. We cut the back straps out of two of them because we wanted to try. So we only hunted one night, and then the next day we headed to Austin for the weekend to party and drink and all that. And so we only took back straps out of two of them, and the rest of them, they found a spot for them.
Yeah.
And I felt so bad after we ate it, you know, at our literal Airbnb. I'm like, holy shit, man, it was so good. I felt bad. They, you know, it's nothing to them. They hate the damn things.
You were breaking up a little bit. You thought it was good. You thought it was delicious.
Yeah, I thought it was very good.
Yeah, it's not bad. How big were the pigs that you shot?
So we shot a wide range of shot some real big ones, and then a couple of real small ones. And we kept the back straps out of the small ones.
Right. Yes.
So I guess they were a little better tasting, I guess.
Yes. But. Yeah. Like anything, I tell any client that we have. When it gets over like that 200-pound range, and if it's a boar, it's more than likely going to taste kind of like it smells. So backstraps, backstraps are perfect. Take those out. Do whatever you want. But now if you shoot something like in the 100-125-pound range, yeah, I mean, all that meat's going to be really good. But the bigger and bigger that they get, I've never really had just a ton of – I've never shot a 250-pound boar and been like, fuck, yeah. That kicked ass, but backstraps, right. You know, it's they're good, 100%.
Yeah, that's the best eating on pig,
and that's the backstrap.
Yeah, you can take a big pig. I think it's like everything else. It's what you do to the meat. Right. You don't take care of your meat. What do you expect? You know, if you take care of the meat and do it properly and handle it, and you know, I think if you shoot a pig and you let it lay out there for 6 hours and you don't do something, you're
100%.
But take care of your meat. Yeah, backstrap's about it on the big ones. Little ones you can do them whole on a grill.
Oh, absolutely.
It's a good tasting animal. I have guys all the time. What's the difference between this and a porky you buy at the store? Well, it's fat. It's not as fat. They're a lot leaner.
Mm-hmm. Right.
What were you shooting like ARs at them or what?
Yeah. Yep. AR. I think they were 308s. I think our group had.
They're tough animals. Were you shocked at like how many times it took to bring one down?
Man, it was wild. The first one I had got on, that was all the way on the right. And I shot at the far right one. It was a big one. And I hit that thing like four times before he finally died. But then it's like I hit another one on our second stalk. And I guess I hit him right in the dome, man. He didn't go anywhere. But, I was impressed. The thermal scopes we were using, too, like they look decent size. But until you walked up to them, you're like, holy shit, man. Thing's a beast, you know?
Yeah.
Deceiving.
There's a fucking bee in here.
Somebody's just buzzing all around me. It's the one that got Logan the other night.
Huh?
It's the one that got Logan in bed the other night.
No.
Oh, yeah. He didn't tell you about that?
Uh-uh.
He's in bed the other night and hear this.
They die when you kill them.
It hit him right in the freaking the neck.
No, they die when you kill
Well, it must have killed him.
When they sting you, they die.
Well, that one died because he got stung right on the neck the other day after he got over his rash.
Fuck. I was going to talk about pig hunting, but I can't remember what this fucking bee has got me losing my train of thought. Kill it, Jeff. He's on your head.
They don't bother me.
Well, if it fucking stings you, it's going to.
It won't sting you. You shouldn't be scared of the damn thing. It's a bee. You put a snake in here, I'm out the door. Bee or spider won't bother you.
Oh, I had to crawl under my house today. My dishwasher has been, fucker's still alive, I think. My dishwasher's been backing up. So I ran, a balloon, and then it shoots high pressured water and cleans your clog. Anyway, I ran it down the drain, the dishwasher drain.
It's behind you.
Fuck off. pulled it up, and I guess that balloon, the balloon swells a little bit when water's in it. Well, it pulled the whole fucking drain apart. Crawled under my house to get to where the drain meets the P trap, and there's a fucking snake a bull snake.
Oh, I wouldn't give a shit. It's a damn rattle cobra then.
So I'm under the house and I look. So the people that I bought my house from were loaded. Loaded. And our preacher, Tex Cox, knew them very well. And he told me when we bought the house, like, hey, you need to check every square inch of that house, because they were the type of people that grew up in the Depression and like saw some shit. And they're the type of people that would bury money. They put it in cans and just bury it. So you need to do your due diligence, check everything. So I crawl under the house and there's like a cement slab, but I notice it kind of makes an L, and I've been under the house before, but I've never explored that little area. So I'm like, here it is. Here's my fortune. I just found it. So I start crawling to get to like look around to see like if there's anything over there. And I look up where the floor joists meet the floor, and there's a fucking snake coiled up there.
That would have been enough. Was he alive?
Yeah. Oh. I'm assuming so.
Oh, God, that would have been enough for my ass.
Well, that was as far as I got. There could have been $1 million on the other side of this cement brick, whatever it is, and I'll never find it.
As cold as it was this morning, he wasn't a bitch but once.
Well, it's a bull snake.
How do you know?
Because I can tell by its markings.
Okay.
Yeah, it's 100% it's a bull
Remember,
snake.
Dad, we just talked about the plumber the other day that broke both of his arms.
It was a rattlesnake, though.
Yeah, there was a guy under his house, a plumber, and I guess he got scared. There was a rattlesnake under there and broke both of his arms.
Coming at him. The rattlesnake was coming at him in an aggressive manner.
Oh, shit.
Broke both arms
crawling out.
I think I'd rather get bit by a rattlesnake than have to deal with two broke arms.
Ooh. I was going to say, at least he didn't get bit by the snake.
Ooh, that would have been my luck. Two broke arms and a bit rattlesnake bite.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, man.
I'll crawl under there again.
Shanahan texts me because I put on there that you're on here right now. You and Shanahan, do y'all drink together sometimes?
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. A little bit.
Who's the better drinker, you or Trevor?
Oh, man. I'd have to say Trevor for sure.
He's got that dick pretty good. Have you ever been around anyone that's in the call-in circuit that's give a shit or is like his? He just don't give a shit.
He really doesn't, man. But he backs it up.
I like Trevor a lot because Trevor's a lot like I am. Trevor is exactly the same asshole on Facebook and in person. He's the same person all the time. And I like that because he doesn't try to be somebody he's not.
Exactly.
Like Andy, like Andy's an asshole on here, but Andy's a real nice person off of the podcast.
I don't think I'm an asshole on here.
Well, everybody but your mom thinks you are, so I'm just letting you know.
Okay, so maybe I'm just a nice guy everywhere.
No, that's not true.
I feel like I'm a nice guy on here.
No, I don't know. People don't like you as much for some reason.
They don't. It doesn't translate very well.
No, not at all. So I'm just trying to help you out.
I like Trevor.
I'll
defend Trevor. Trevor has a lot of haters out there. But I wonder if him not giving a shit is kind of why he's so good.
Yeah, very well could be.
He's not bound up by all this nervousness, this tension. And I don't know. Right. I mean, I'm assuming he gets a little bit nervous before going on stage.
Man, I don't know. I've seen him before. He's just casual, hanging out, and goes out and does his thing, man. Man, my knees are knocking. My hands are sweaty. Like, don't even talk to me. But he don't care.
Well, Nickum says he blacks out a lot of times on stage.
Right. Yeah. Yep. I do to a point. I mean, I'm in my zone. I guess I get in a zone where I'm just everything zoned out, but I just know what I'm doing. But so, yeah, my nerves, man, recently they have been so bad. I think because I don't this as much as I should. And then I'm on deck. I'm like, holy shit, here we go.
I'm not ready for this.
No.
Now, are you like note for note, or are you like just kind of take it as it comes?
Nope. My routine, I know every note where it should be. And if I don't hit one of them, I'm messed up throughout the whole rest of the routine.
Really?
Yeah. Yep.
So what is now, that's just personal preference, isn't it? Like there's it plenty is. Of guys yep. that are, there's that fucking bee again, Jeff, kill the cocksucker.
don't break the sign.
Well, I'm not going to break the sign. There's plenty of guys that are like segment for segment and they'll just kind of take everything as it comes.
Did you almost shit your pants when you saw that snake?
No.
You didn't at all?
No, not at all. He was from here to the door.
Fuck that. What would you do if you crawled under a house and was a snake?
He wasn't going anywhere. He was coiled up.
Yeah, I've seen him uncoil pretty fast. Fucker.
I'm more scared of this fucking bee is what I am.
Goddamn, get him, Andy.
I got him.
Hit him three times with the swatter, then stomped his feet out, then looked at him to make sure he was really dead. There's bee guts all over the floor here.
I bit my fly swatter. But so if you wanted to, is what's the argument for being note for note? Because like segment for segment, I can kind of see because like you just take everything as it goes. And then if you miss something, you don't really know. And it's easier for you to just kind of transition into the next part.
Yeah, I guess it's just personal preference. Like me, I want to go up there, like even like a live contest. I like to have a set thing of like knowing where I should be about when and everything. But I just like to go up there knowing where I need to be and having that in my head, you know, having a plan instead of just winging it and going with it.
Right. How long does it take you to develop a routine that you know, like, okay, this is where I'm at. This is the next note. This is the next.
Took me years, man. Took me years to get it. Yeah, but I would usually always be close, and you know, besides a few minor things that would usually happen in my routine. But now I got it to where I know every note of it. Where I could be in one.
How often has there ever been a contest where being note for note you think might have cost you because you did get lost or you missed something, and you're just like, oh fuck, here we go.
Right. Yeah. There was. I mean. When I mess up, it's usually pretty bad. So I'm usually just, I'm getting zeros or ones anyway. But yeah, it's it throws me all off, man. I'm lost when I mess up because in my head I'm like, son of a bitch, you know. But yeah, it's definitely hurt me in the past. But I think more often than not, it helps me because I know exactly where I need to be.
Right. No, I mean I just obviously it's worked for you. I'm just kind of trying to get into the where you've decided. Okay, I'm gonna be a note for note guy. I remember what I was going to say with the pigs. I always tell guys, put it right behind the ear and they'll just, it's an off switch. Were you trying to put it like behind the shoulder blade or were you trying to dome them?
I was trying to dome them, I guess, in the head or in the neck, I guess. But, because the biggest thing I had was getting the lead down. Cause like I said, it was deceiving in those thermal scopes. I was like, I would ask the guy, I'm like, how far are these things? He's like, I don't know, like 80 yards or something like that. Well, fuck. I mean, in the scope, they looked like they were 150. So I think the first couple of groups, you know, I was shooting way in front of them.
Right.
And finally, I started figuring out, and me and my group, we started laying them out pretty good.
One of my first times ever dicking with a thermal scope, pull up, big open wheat field. I mean, it's, you know, you can see across the thing for a long way. Throw the thermal up, and I see something out there. I'm like, oh, that's a fucking pig. Like, get ready, guys. What we're going to do, I tell them the plan. Like, okay, we're all going to get here. I'm going to drive about 100 yards. I'm going to turn on the headlights, and there they'll be. It was one pig. So, fucking romp on the gas, start going, turn on the lights, and there's a fucking raccoon is what it ended up being. I thought it was a pig at, like, 150. It was a raccoon at 30. And I'm like, motherfucker.
Oh, shit.
So I was like, guys, this is embarrassing, but that's what I saw, 100%.
Yeah.
So threw the thermal back up just to make sure, and yeah, it was. I'd seen a raccoon, but I never messed with any thermals. I didn't know that the depth perception was going to be all wonky.
Mm-hmm.
But it is.
Yeah, it had me all messed up.
But it is, yeah. Where? What season are all the seasons open in all the states that you hunt in?
Duck season's in most of the states all the states around me right now. Pennsylvania goose season actually opened today. I think Delaware opens tomorrow, and then New Jersey opens on Thursday. Maryland doesn't have a early season now. Because out here in the Atlantic Flyway, we only have a 30-day season, one bird limit. So it's just all confusing on all the states right now.
Yeah, that is crazy.
Yeah.
What's everything looking like in your area? Like, is it going to look like another good season or hit up New Jersey?
There's more geese around right now than I've seen in a long time for this time of year. I think because of all that snow up in New York they're having or had.
Right.
We've had a really big push of birds. But as far as ducks, I'm not too sure. I don't spend too much time duck hunting. We lease a little marsh. Well, yeah, in Jersey, our farm has a little marsh on it, and we duck hunt there. But it holds a handful of ducks. I mean, if we go back here and shoot a couple mallards and a wood duck, you know, it's a good day for us. But, yeah, I don't really pay too much attention to the ducks, but there's a lot of geese around right now.
Is it, how are you hunting these geese? Is it like pits or A-frames or layout blinds?
Mostly A-frames right out in the middle of the field.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yep. A lot of like the Midwest guys are like, how in the hell you shoot geese out of them? Things there ain't no way. I mean, as long as you're grassed up and you don't move, I've had them almost land in the damn blind.
Right. I need
no issue at all.
I need to grow a bigger, that fucking bee. Again. There ain't no fucking way that bee's alive, Jeff.
It's a different bee.
Oh. I've hunted the middle of the field a couple times in A-frames, and I've never really had that much success, but I don't want to rule it out completely. Like, I would do it again with the right group.
Sure, yeah.
But it works for the,
yeah, it's just
the
way
the
out
ones.
Here. I mean, yeah, it's just what everybody does. Or, you know, on the edge in the hedgerow or something like that. Layout blinds have kind of faded away. You get a lot of pit blinds as well, but I don't have any access to them where I hunt, really.
Underneath the socks is the way that everybody does it out here. Like, that's the trend. Hiding in white.
Yeah, I'm actually coming out to Texas like 2 days after Christmas. I'm coming Texas.
You're breaking up. Say it again.
I'm coming out to I think it's Dry Creek.
Oh, you're okay. You're hunting with Toby.
No, Dry Creek. He's hunting with
Reston. Oh, Dry Creek. I'm sorry.
You're hunting with Reston. Good guy. Good friend of mine.
You'll be about an hour away from us.
Talked to him this morning.
Oh, really good guy. Shit.
Yep.
Damn.
You'll be in Wichita Falls.
Yeah, I'm coming out like.
What's that? What spurred that along? Just another buddy group or what?
So, it's kind of a long story, but a boy I've been working with, Josh Elchinski, he's a junior caller, 16 years old. I mean, he's phenomenal. In a few years, he's going to be a world champion, right? No doubt in my mind. But became very close with him and his family, and for his birthday present, his dad is taking him to Texas, and they had somebody drop out a few weeks ago and they offered me the spot and I jumped in on it.
What all are you going to be chasing?
I think mostly geese, I think. And they said there might be a chance for some cranes, maybe.
Nice.
He's got a lot of cranes now. I saw about 8 feeds yesterday in the area he's hunting. Reston's a good guy. He's a good friend of mine. I talk to him just about every day during hunting season. Really good guy.
Mm-hmm.
They'll take care of you. They're good. They're good people.
Yeah. We've had Reston.
Yeah. Sounds like it.
Yeah. They're real good. He's the dove king.
He is.
He kills more dove anywhere outside of Colombia. Or South America, wherever he's a Mexico, whatever he is in the United States of America, he kills more dove than anybody I know.
What other trips are you going to take? Is this the only one?
So we're doing the Texas trip, and then in February I'm going out to Colorado with Josh and his dad again. Josh actually won that hunt at Dive Bomb, the Dive Bomb contest when he won the junior contest, and his dad was. Nice enough to invite me along on that as well.
You need to hit your wagon to this kid. He's taking you all sorts of fun little places.
I know, man. He's going to do big things on his own, man. He is a very gifted caller. I mean, kid's only been blowing a call for 2 years, and I mean, he's something else.
That's awesome stuff.
So, what is it that does? I mean, how do you be just naturally do this? Or I mean, it's crazy to think that he's 2 years on a call and he's already stacking up wins like this.
Yeah, I mean, some people just, it clicks for them a little faster than others, you know. I mean, I will say, like, Josh and Alden Pugh, Alden won the Junior Worlds last weekend. Josh finished second. And, man, those two kids are both 16 years old. I mean, they're the most talented junior callers I've ever heard. It will not be long, and they're going to be giving us a run for our money. That's for sure.
That's crazy. So, yeah. I guess we're what are we doing now? We're going to try to repeat next year?
I guess so, man. I mean, to be honest, like I said, I haven't really put much time and effort into practicing and stuff the last couple of years. But this year, yeah, my heart wasn't in it. I wanted to go deer hunting. And, finally, a few days before the contest, I'm like, let me get my shit right because I'm going down. I might as well give it a half-ass effort. But, yeah, now that I finally got it, man, the fire's relit. I got to try and get 3 and, you know, champions. We'll see what happens, though.
Now, what other, because you've got other jobs, what all have you won? You got some two-mans and some lives?
Yep, I won the two-man goose with Trevor 3 times, the open style, and before they changed it to live. I won the live goose in 2014 and the world live duck in 2018.
What do you prefer? Like, what method, what style contest do you prefer?
Man, I really like the live stuff just because there's no really set format. It's kind of more relaxed. You go up there and just do your thing, try to sound like a live bird. But, yeah, I've done the open stuff so long, it's fun, you know, just what I'm used to.
It almost seems like when we talk to guys like you, like the live is a place where they can just kind of go and try new things. It's just kind of this open thing where everybody seems to say that it's way more fun. And
it is, yep.
Maybe less stress because you can just kind of go up there and just sound like a goose. That's all you got to do.
Yep, exactly. It's not like the open where it's like, all right, the judges are listening, you know, to your hails, your come on stuff, your come down, your come back. The live, I mean, you can go up there and just honk if you want, you know, and it could do very well. It's just way more relaxed. Like you said, less stressful too.
Yeah. So with that, do you have a note for note routine down, or is it just kind of, you have an idea and you're just going to sound like a goose for 60 seconds?
Yeah. So the live stuff, I have a plan in my head, but within that plan, I just kind of let it go with the flow, stuff like that. I have a certain way I start, certain way I'm in the middle, and then a certain way I end, but everything in between is just, it whatever I want to do, whatever comes out.
Now, are you going to be at Dive Bomb again this year?
They may only have like the juniors and the novice contest out there.
Oh, really?
I don't know. I heard there's a, I don't know. There was some stuff going on after the contest, some messages thrown back and forth, and they didn't like it. Or I don't know. Don't take it with a grain of salt. But if there is a open contest, yes, for sure. Yep, I enjoyed it a lot.
Well, and I think it's going to be the same weekend as Delta's waterfowl. Whatever they do. And I don't know if there's a contest at Delta or not.
What is that, the one in Texas?
The Delta one was in Arkansas, wasn't it?
It's in Little Rock.
Oh, the Arkansas one. Yeah, yeah, right. Gotcha. Yeah. So, no kidding.
I don't know what all is going to end up happening, but it'll be interesting to see. They'll figure it out. It's above my pay grade. Yeah. So, well, listen, if you get a wild hair up your ass and you want to drive another hour down to Knox City, we'd love to have you out here, have a beer with you, and, be good to see you. And then if nothing else, maybe we'll cross paths at Dive Bomb or somewhere else down the line. We've kept you long.
Yeah, man. I wish I could have ran into you guys there. I was just always either calling or judging, and it was hot as shit. Taking shade wherever I could. But yeah, man, now that'd be fun. I'd love to hang out with you guys and maybe do a little hunting or something sometime. That'd be cool.
It'd be great. Congratulations on the big win. I tell you, it seems like you're one of the most humble guys to do it, and it seems like everybody loves you in this calling contest world. So you're one of the good guys, it seems like.
Yeah, I guess so, man.
But congratulations. It couldn't have happened to a nicer individual. We're very, very proud of you, and a very, very good message that you got there. Just stick with it, and you know, eventually the cream will rise to the top.
John,
right. Never give up.
We appreciate it. God bless you, and have a great Thanksgiving, my friend.
Yep, you guys do the same.
Go shoot you a bruiser, bud.
Thank you.
Go shoot you a bruiser.
I'll try.
All right, bud. Bye.
See you.
John Walls, ladies and gentlemen, your world champion open goose.
Where are these bees coming from?
I have no idea.
There's another one now behind you.
How many does that make?
Like five.
We feel like Candyman.
We ain't hit a... Well, good luck, Andy.
Candyman. How many more times I got to say it?
I don't know.
I think it's four. Yeah, John Wall's great guy. Go check out. It's on Facebook. I can feel this fucking piece.
It's right behind your back, too. Thank y'all for listening to us. God bless y'all, and have a great week, and have a great Thanksgiving.
Fuck out of here. Happy Thanksgiving. Bye. Go check out our sponsors. Go check out Gundog. They've got a Black Friday, Cyber Monday deal. Shin Gear Waiters, Lucky Duck, Looking Glass Podcast, Hunt Proof App, Alpha Outdoor Specialties, Bangtail Whiskey, Stanfield Hunting Outfitters, Dirty Duck Coffee, Ducks Unlimited, Double T British Kennels, Pacific Calls, BHP 25 saves 25%, Dive Bomb Industries, Boss Shot Shells, and Mossberg.